Congress shall make no law abridging the right of free speech. None. Zip. Nada. None. Congress shall make no law abridging the right of free speech. So says the Constitution in our beloved First Amendment. Are you listening, Congress, House, and Senate? And all you congressional agencies, including and especially the IRS, the EPA, HUD, and especially the Department of Education, do you hear and do you understand those words in plain English? Do you? Congress, that would be you, House and Senate, and your agencies, all of you, shall make no law. Shall. There's no discretion in the word shall. There's no way of interpretation. For you shall not make, that is, legislate. You can't legislate by law or by rule or regulation. You can't make or legislate any laws or any rules or any regulations which in any way abridge, that is, infringe upon or impinge upon, much less take away the right, the inalienable right, the God-given right, the constitutional right of freedom in the First Amendment, that precious right of free speech. Leave it alone, says the First Amendment. Speech is free, Congress. It's unabridged. It's not in any way curtailed or quarantined or sanitized. It's certainly not made politically correct, like hate speech. Even if you choose to call it hate speech, you can't do that. Speech is free, inalienable, constitutionally protected. So leave it alone, Congress. Leave that fundamental right and freedom alone. And the same to you, the courts, the Supreme Court. Leave the First Amendment alone. So say the Founding Fathers, and so say our beloved Constitution. We, the people, have got to protect that inalienable First Amendment right. But any politician who disagrees with the Constitution, and especially the right of free speech, tries to abridge it somehow, some way, with some loophole to curtail that right, to redefine that right with new interpretation and new discretion, current with the times, and not merely the product of an old, fuzzy, stuffy group of ancient white men, as one pundit called them, the so-called Founding Fathers. Don't leave it just to them to formulate absolute truths, even freedoms, which govern our lives today, 2.5 centuries later. Perhaps this current constitutional manipulation and interpretation can be summed up in the words of now Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan. She is perhaps the most progressive, liberal justice on the court. Kagan said, "The speech of some must be silenced so that others can be heard." Can you believe that? Well, who are the some whose speech should be silenced? And who are the others who need to be heard? Justice Kagan. She, like Obama, is an organic constitutionalist, where for them and those like them, there are no absolutes, which, according to her statement, would not only curtail the rights of free speech, but actually take it away. It's not absolute. No matter the constitutional mandate of the First Amendment. Boy, I'll tell you, Justice Kagan, that really scares me. You have no right to do that. Ah, what a world. An ever-growing socialistic, progressive, radical, ultra-liberal world in politics and the judicial branch, which would seek to silence critical voices. As Dr. David Jeremiah has so well said, "I never thought I'd see the day." Really a good book that good man wrote. I never thought I'd see the day. Me either. In many real ways, the ever-growing constitutional problem of free speech curtailment, abridgment, is the product of the judiciary. Former President Barack Hussein Obama, love that word former, made 331 judicial appointments. Could you believe that? 331. Obama's nominees alone now represent approximately one-third of all federal judges. One-third. If you are an advocate of unfettered free speech, as the Founding Fathers were, that's a scary number, because you can bet your bottom dollar those 331 are not for absolute free speech and will rule accordingly. One-third of all federal judges essentially think like Obama. As a result, according to the Brookings Institution, there are now approximately 92 liberal appellate judges and 75 conservative. That's a real imbalance, don't you think? In addition to those numbers, there are now at or about 129 vacancies on the federal bench. 129! Those vacancies can and should be filled by President Trump. Boy, I hope he does that. We can return conservative balance to our judicial system. If Obama can appoint 331 judicial nominees, now it is time for Trump to fill those 129 vacancies with conservative justices, even as Obama filled 331 judicial positions with liberal appointees. Time to redress the imbalance. That must be done, says the Wall Street Journal. And this good publication announces what they think is the right thing to do with the headline, "Here come the Trump judges. Here come the Trump judges." And I, for one, say bring them on, don't you? If you believe in free speech, unfettered, unabridged, absolutely free speech, the Trump judges, all 129 of them, should be conservative, or at least centrist and balanced, and should, like former Justice Antonin Scalia, remember him? What a great jurist he was. And should return to the originalism of the Founding Fathers, the actual textualism of the Constitution itself. Without making law, without judicial activism, without interpretation, and restore this precious, inalienable, God-given right in full to the American people. Otherwise, Congress and the courts will continue to make laws or rules and regulations, or the courts, liberally driven, will, with judicial activism, make their own laws through decision-making, which will in fact water down and abridge or even take away the right of free speech. Wow, scary times, my fellow Americans. We should watch them carefully. The United States Supreme Court dealt with the issue of free speech in a major way in its ruling in the case Citizens United. Do you remember that one? That decision came down in 2010. In that landmark decision, the court overturned any law which in any way restricted the free speech, the participation of any individual or entity in the political process, and in fact, opened the floodgates for nonprofits and corporations to speak freely and to participate aggressively in the public arena. The decision was made even though these entities would bring considerable monies and influence to the political process. No matter, said the court, it is a guaranteed constitutional right for anyone or even anything, entity, to speak freely and aggressively. That allowed the left, the liberal, to unleash the power of unions. Okay, bring it on. And that allowed the right, the so-called conservative, to unleash the political power and speech of the corporations, both profit and nonprofit. Money, large sums of it, began to flow into the political process as never before. But, according to the Constitution, free speech for all returned fully and without abridgment to the political process as the Constitution would have it. Any individual, or any entity, could now participate fully and freely in the political process from and after the year 2010. No matter the money or influence, I think it's the right thing, because it is the constitutional thing. You know, when it comes to free speech, it is so saddening to think in terms of what is happening in so many of our colleges and universities. These liberal, even radical institutions, so many of them public institutions of education, construct what they term free speech zones. Again, free speech zones. That is, you can only say what you want to say unabridged in certain zones set up for that speech on campus, but you, the student, or anyone else is absolutely forbidden to speak freely, much less critically, in the open or anywhere you wish on campus. You just can't do it. Free speech is quarantined. It's limited. And The mantra is hold your tongue, students, especially if you may be critical of abortion, the gay agenda, euthanasia, and the like. And that was happening in many cases in the great state of Colorado. On April 4th of this year, Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper signed a bill that will prevent Colorado's public colleges and universities from quarantining, zoning the free speech and expression of students anywhere. There will no longer be any tiny, misleadingly labeled free speech zones. Students at these oppressive universities had lost their First Amendment rights, and lawsuits at the expense of the taxpayer abounded. Said one proponent of the new law in Colorado, "This new law will finally allow students of diverse backgrounds here in Colorado the ability to truly engage in the free flow of ideas." Amen to that. Get rid of the speech police and the free speech zones once and for all. Those liberal, radical universities may well experience the full constitutional guarantee of the First Amendment once again. Hallelujah. I find it incredible that these universities can be so controlled by radical, anti-First Amendment professors and administrators and officials. Where did they come from? How did these radicals gain such control and power in our university structure? It almost seems as though they have the unfettered right to introduce these speech codes and restrictions and zones as they see fit. How did they get that kind of power? Said one critic, "While many speech codes are absurd, fighting them, even at colleges bound by the First Amendment, has required more than 60 lawsuits. 60 lawsuits since 1989. Wow. What a waste of time, effort, and money. But it had to be done. And that was all done at taxpayer expense. And there's more to come. It happens all the time because somehow, some way, the intellectual and educational power in this country of ours has shifted radically to the left, to the radicals who now make speech rules and establish speech codes. Such conduct and the codes themselves foster bias and disrespect for others, and they virtually extinguish diversity of opinion. And they control and curtail, they abridge thought and thought processes and the formulation of ideas, and both obstruct and destroy what colleges and universities have been founded for, namely the cultivation of the mind and the intellect, and the ability of young adults to learn to think for themselves. A university education should teach a student how to deal with diversity and criticism and argumentation and dialogue and rejection. For if none of that occurs in the college setting, that student could never be prepared for the real world, never, where argumentation, criticism, and rejection, they're basic facts of life, real life in the real world every day. So, the drumbeat from the left goes on, not only unabated, but actually heating up in the university setting, and often fiercely so. Intimidation rules. Thought and the expression thereof seems guarded. Our generation, especially the young, the millennials, so they say, are conditioned to be careful, overly sensitive, far more concerned with not offending others rather than truly and freely expressing themselves. Many are intimidated from even engaging in dialogue. The discussion of sensitive issues from all sides for fear of offending or for themselves rejection. They're afraid of that. That kind of intimidation, academically driven, is itself unconstitutional in my opinion. What do you think? It's an unlawful restriction. It's an abridgment of First Amendment rights, sometimes subtle and indirect, but always striking at the heart and the core and the soul of the right of free speech. Our society, our so-called democratic society, and our blessed republic can never survive as the Constitution intends unless we have as our first and fundamental right and freedom the unabridged freedom of speech. The unabridged freedom of speech. And there even continue abridgments in the church. Pastors are intimidated, even forbidden, by the so-called Johnson Amendment from the political discourse and position taking in the church, and especially from the pulpit under potential penalty of loss of tax exemption. The speech of millions is therefore abridged, and constitutionally so. President Trump has issued an executive order expanding the right of religious speech and political speech from religionists. Perhaps the pressure is off, but the threat remains. Whether corporation, profit or nonprofit, or union, or any other entity, or perhaps in our Judeo-Christian country, the very religious institution or church itself, there should be absolutely no infringement, no abridgment of the right to our constitutional First Amendment guarantee of free speech. After all, that right, that freedom is inalienable. That is, it's eternal, it's forever, it's God-given, it cannot be changed, certainly not by man. Perhaps the right is given first to the church and those who believe in that God, and then to all mankind in secular ways. But that is an absolute inalienable right, my friends. Protect it and defend it. I urge you, my fellow Americans, to know that First Amendment, to memorize it, hold it indelibly in your heart and your head, and defend it with all of your might. And most importantly, freely exercise that right of free speech, in healthy, controversial, constructive, stand-up, strong dialogue. That's missing now. It's missing in America. That right can only be born again if we the people stand up and make it happen. That is the only way. So protect it, and use it or lose it. And never forget that freedom once lost is lost forever.